Welcome to Infinite Future. I'm Todd Thomas, and today we're exploring the innovations shaping tomorrow's world. You're watching Now Media TV. Welcome to the show. I'm really excited for today's show. We have an amazing young woman who has done so much so early. It's really quite phenomenal. Caitlin is the founder and executive director of Army of Torches. She has also written a book, Army of Torches, The Weight of Duty. Army of Torches is a nonprofit that's equipping young people to step into leadership with purpose, resilience, and conviction. The Weight of Duty focuses on what leadership really demands when enthusiasm isn't enough. So, Caitlin, welcome so much to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Todd. It's really a pleasure to be here.
So we say you're the founder and executive director of Army of Torches, and you've already written a book. And then people will see you on screen and be like, what's going on here? So how old are you? Where do you go to school?
Yes. So I'm actually 17 years old right now. When I started Army of Torches, I was actually only 16. Right now I go to high school at Skyline High School, but I was concurrently enrolled at MCC for a French course for a little bit. So, you know, kind of a mix of both.
That's fantastic. I absolutely love it. I loved your book, and I really loved the preface where you set the stage. So I'm just going to take a second and read a little blurb and then get your reaction and your thoughts on that and what you were thinking as you wrote that.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
So the preface of the book starts out, there's a strange thing that happens when you finally decide to stop waiting for someone else to step up and fix what's broken. You look around expecting to find a crowd of people moving forward with you, and instead, you usually find yourself standing somewhat alone. That specific quiet isolation was the catalyst for The Weight of Duty. I didn't write this book because I felt I had reached some absolute, unshakable pinnacle of leadership or to hand down abstract theories from a safe distance. I wrote it from the messy, complicated middle of trying to figure out how to carry real responsibility long before I felt ready for it. That's really insightful. Can you tell us a little bit more about what was the genesis of this? Where did this come from?
Are you referring to Weight of Duty, the book, or Army of Torches?
Well, maybe explain the nonprofit, the organization, and the book, how they fit together, and what was the genesis of all of it?
Yeah, so Army of Torches is built on trying to prevent teens from polarization, but also bringing out the leader within them. So really what that page was talking about was polarization in class and standing up for what you believe in and not being afraid to do so, even when there's not a group behind you to support you in that endeavor.
Where did the courage to stand up and do that come from?
Really, I just had to be confident in my actions and what I've done in the past. I knew that nobody else was going to do it, and that if nobody else was going to do it, then I was going to be the one to do it first.
That's fantastic. When I hear The Weight of Duty, I think about the moment a leader realizes people are counting on them.
Yeah.
What was the first moment that you felt that weight, that burden?
So in high school, I'm in a program called JROTC. In that program, it's called Cadet Led, which means that I'm actually in charge of other students who are also my age. So when I step into these leadership positions, for example, I was a company commander, which meant that I was in charge of 30 other students. And when I step into these positions, I have the burden of taking on some of their mistakes for them. For example, in the mornings and the afternoon, it's our responsibility to take the flag up and down every single day. And sometimes I'm not there to do it. And sometimes people don't follow through. And so when they don't follow through, what happens is the upper leadership comes down to me and says, hey, why didn't flag get done? And you know what? I could blame it on my subordinates who didn't do it even when I told them to, but in reality, it was my responsibility that I delegated out. So that's really the burden, is taking the blame for the people under you because you have to and it's your responsibility.
Okay. And how do you translate that into, so I understand you're taking accountability. I totally appreciate that. You're accountable for your team. How do you then turn that into a learning moment for the team so that that doesn't happen next time?
Well, really what I like to do, and maybe it's a little bit controversial, but I go to my team and say, hey, you guys, first of all, I want to get your perspective on why this happened. And second of all, you got me in trouble. And it makes them feel a little bit bad. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely.
So I'm honest with them, but I also want to know why. Like, was there a family issue? was there something else that I didn't know about?
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. What do young leaders underestimate most? Is it the emotional load, consistency, or the responsibility of being the example even when they're tired?
Well, really, I think it's the consistency. And I think that's the main issue a lot of teens have. There's so many good ideas out there, but very, very few people have that discipline to keep it going and actually start something where they're doing something every day. All it takes is an hour, 30 minutes every day, but they don't have the consistency to do something that actually matters.
Lots of people talk about generational issues. Do you think this is a specific generational issue, or is this an overall leadership issue?
No, I think it's an overall leadership issue. I think this has happened in every single generation. I don't think it's just Gen Z. Actually, I think that Gen Z is going to have a better shot with AI coming out and all of these other tools. Now it's no longer about the skill set that you have. It's more about the ideas that you have and how well you can implement them.
Excellent. What's the difference between I'm committed and I'm caring too much? And what are the early warning signs that you watch for, either for yourself or with your team?
Well, the difference between I'm committed and I'm doing too much is that, one, you feel like you're making progress. You feel proud that you were disciplined that day. And if you're doing too much, you're not going to feel like you're going to want to do it at all. Of course, there's going to be days you're unmotivated, but you're absolutely dreading it and you're burnt out and you're doing too much. You're not delegating it out to anybody. So that's the real difference, is that when you're disciplined, you feel it, you feel proud of yourself, you know that you've delegated it on to somebody, you're working at the time you plan to that day.
So when you're working with your team and helping to get the results that you want, do you find, is it a lack of commitment issue, or are people hungry for the knowledge of how to accomplish what the goals?
Well, I think it's really just a commitment issue. I mean, a lot of teenagers go out and do all this research, but they don't commit to doing all the disciplinary acts that they need to do. For example, they could read maybe 10 books on leadership, how to start whatever business they want, whatever skill set that they need. But if they don't have the discipline and commitment that it takes to get through it, they're never going to get anywhere.
So if you're a young person and you are lacking that commitment, the ability to make that commitment, how do you help your team achieve that commitment and get that consistency?
Duty. That's the one word I have to say, duty. There's got to be a deep reason as to why you want to do it. It's not a Lamborghini. It's not a new bag. It's not bragging rights. It's something that truly matters to you that you couldn't live without. For me, it's having a future where I can travel. I have the freedom to do what I want. And I know that I've made an impact on the world beyond myself.
So when you're putting together a team, are you looking for people that have that sense of duty? It's already within them? Or is that something you can build within a team, within individuals?
No, absolutely not. Every leader has a moment where they recognize what their duty is, and they have to get down into it and say, why was I doing this in the first place? Not everyone's born with that, and that's your responsibility as a leader, whoever's on your team, to talk with them and bring out their duty.
What's one leadership standard that you refuse to lower, even when it would reduce stress or make people like you more?
Well, honestly, I don't fall for totalitarian leadership styles. I hate it. I can't do it. It's easier on me for my job to say, hey, do this right now. This is how you're going to do it. This is how I need you to do it. In just a very angry tone or getting upset with people, yelling at them to do stuff. Really, for me, it's about delegation and letting my team learn. After time, the totalitarian style leadership doesn't work. But when you're a good leader and you're communicating with your team and they understand why you're doing things, they'll trust you in the long run. They'll end up staying longer. They'll take the initiative to do things that you maybe didn't even ask them to do.
Fantastic. If someone watching is already overwhelmed, what's the first move you'd tell them to make this week to gain control and lead clearly again?
That's an easy one. Three words. Get a mentor, ASAP. It can be anyone. It can be your father. It can be your grandpa. I don't care. It can be some random guy on the street that just so happens to have a small business. Anybody.
And what are the criteria you're looking for in a mentor?
Someone who's been where you want to be. 100%.
That's excellent. Okay, fantastic. Thanks so much, Caitlin. Enjoying the conversation. We're going to take a quick break. But up next, we want to shift from the inner weight of leadership to the outer challenge. How do you build a youth leadership movement that doesn't fade after the inspiration wears off? Thank you much for watching. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more conversations at the edge of technology and transformation. Stay tuned. Every week on Infinite Future, we explore breakthrough innovation across every major frontier. We talk to AI architects, biotech pioneers, space entrepreneurs, clean energy disruptors, and the thinkers redesigning global systems. We don't just talk trends. We examine scalability, ethics, economic impact, and real-world implementation. If you're building, investing in, or leading the future, join me on Infinite Future, only on Now Media TV. Because the future isn't predicted, it's engineered. And we're back. I'm Todd Thomas, and this is Infinite Future on Now Media TV. Let's look ahead. Welcome back to Infinite Future. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in Spanish and in English. Are you on the move? You prefer a podcast? Watch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. Now, welcome back, Caitlin. Welcome back, viewers. Caitlin Murdoch is the Army of Torches founder and executive director. In this segment, I want to go beyond motivation and talk about what actually builds leadership over time. Repetition, standards, feedback, and a community that makes leadership normal. I'm going to treat youth leadership like a symptom, not a movement. The goal is to reveal what makes a movement sustainable, clear values, real world reps, accountability that doesn't shame, and mentorship that doesn't infantilize. When people hear youth leadership, they often assume confidence talks. What do I need to understand about your model that makes leadership trainable, not just inspirational?
Yeah, so Army of Torches is focused on building real world opportunity. And what that means is that we actually have real courses like public speaking leadership and AI credibility that we have built into our website and programs. We also have clinics that we're planning to host and mapping out in the future where we actually bring real life mentors such as yourself onto the stage to talk about certain leadership, business things, anything that applies. And hopefully in the future, something that we want to do that's really cool, and I'll tell you what, is when we get enough money to do so, give scholarships out to people who want to be a leader in a certain category, or even grants for businesses.
Fantastic. How are you building all of this content? Who is creating the content?
It's all me.
It's all you.
Me and AI sometimes, yes.
How much do you use AI personally?
Only on stuff that I think it needs to be used on. Organizing things, sometimes drafting emails, I mean, giving me a checklist, everything that makes my life harder. It makes my work get done a lot faster and it gets rid of all the extra fluff around my time.
So you're not scared of AI?
I'm not scared of it at all. I think it's the future. I think we have to kind of absorb it a little bit for it to work.
So I've talked with a number of different AI experts,
yeah.
And it seems to me the ones that I tend to resonate with most talk about AI as a force multiplier. It allows them to get more work done, more better work done. Is that how you view it?
Oh, absolutely. If you're not using AI right now, you probably should be because somebody's going to take your job. It's the truth. I mean, really.
Okay. All right. I'm going to jump back into your book. So the first chapter is titled How This Actually Works. And I'm just going to read a little section here for you.
Absolutely. This
book isn't about finding motivation. It's about something less comfortable than that. Establishing duty. Real leadership, the kind that doesn't dissolve and the first time things get hard, gets built on three acts that are each uncomfortable in their own way. The carry of responsibility before you're ready for it. The light of showing up visibly once you've earned the right to be seen, and the pass of deliberately creating opportunity for the people coming up behind you. None of that is natural. None of it is supposed to feel easy, and it starts, whether you like it or not, with choosing to move while you're still unsure. Mm-hmm. I love that. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you came to that spot, how you came to that understanding?
Specifically on the part where it says move even when you're not ready to do so, hard on that. If you want to be somebody, you're carrying that torch already. If you say, hey, I have this idea, I want to build this business, I want to build this team, you're already in the carry stage. The second you reach out and you put yourself outside of your comfort zone, that's when the carry stage begins. That's when you're starting to become someone, you're building something. And once you've built that something, then you move on to the pass stage where you're able to gather your experience and pass it on to somebody else or maybe a team member, a team leader to build your legacy onwards and keep that idea flowing. So that's really where that pass, carry, and light arc came through.
Wow, that's fantastic. And so you talked about that in the preface and that really seems to be a theme throughout and mm-hmm. just in the conversation, that seems really clear that the duty and leadership is carrying this weight when you don't have all the answers and you may not be ready, but it's your duty to do so. That seems like a really mature thing to grasp. And I don't mean to keep coming back to your age, but you just turned 17 years old and you have this understanding of duty that I think a lot of people never comprehend at any point in their lives. And I guess I'm fascinated by that. And I want to double tap on.
Absolutely.
Where did that come from? How did you make that first step or that first acknowledgement that this is my duty and maybe I'm not ready, but I'm moving forward?
Well, it was really interesting. The way Army of Torches started was applying for a scholarship. It came from a scholarship essay for the VFW, which I did not win, unfortunately, but it did provide me with something much, much better. In that essay, I was talking about the polarization in our youth. And more specifically, I was talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. Within my class, how many people out of 20 students do you think stand up for the pledge?
I really have no idea. I mean, I guess back in my day, everybody did. But I'm gathering by the question that's no longer the case.
That's no longer the case. On average, it's about 3 people.
Really?
3 people. Only 3 people stand up for the pledge. And I'm a big person. I'm like, you know what? I'm big on believe what you want to believe. Do as you wish. This is your world. This is your freedom. But I think that we should stand up for the people who died trying to help us, trying to serve, even if they weren't trying to do anything, they still died. And I think we should respect that. But it was just crazy to me that they didn't stand up for that. And there's a lack of polarization is what I want. I don't want any of this polarization. I want people to stand up for what they believe in. And so I was thinking about it and I was like, you know what? Somebody needs to pull these teenagers together and say, you know what? You need to be the leader in the scenario and you need to come up with an idea to fix whatever it is that you need to fix.
Wow. And what gave you the courage to step into that void, to be that person?
Well, I've always kind of known that I had it in me to do so. I've always been like a very ambitious person. There's never been a moment where I thought about a career or something that I wanted to do where I went, you know what? I probably couldn't do that, because the truth is I've met so many people that have done that. Like, you walk into a room and a lot of it's connections from people I know, but every CEO that I meet, very few of them actually know what they're doing. And so that was part of my inspiration. And I said, you know what? Anybody can be this. This is what I want to be. So I'm going to do it. And I think that's what everyone should do. But you also need that duty that's pulling you in again. And I want to travel the world someday. I want to make my mark on the world. And I think everybody does.
Fantastic. What's the biggest leadership gap that you see either in yourself or in peers? Is it follow through? Is it emotional control, communication, or courage in conflict?
100% follow through. A lot of teenagers at my school have discovered a little bit about my business experience. And upon discovering that, they come to me and they go, Caitlin, can you help me build a business? And I go, yeah, sure. On what? And they go, I want to start a clothing brand. or I want to do nails, whatever it is that they want to do. And I go, you know what? Sure. Here's your first step. You call me when you get that step done. And not once have I actually gotten a call. And so that's the issue that I'm really trying to fix with AOT. But it's definitely the follow through with that. Even the small actions, getting over the hump of getting started is your biggest enemy. And I'm going to tell every teen that's watching right now, whether you're a college student, even adults, just do it. Follow through with it. I promise it's not going to kill you.
So you followed through. You've launched this nonprofit. You've written the book. You're doing this. What kind of response are you getting? Are you getting the support that you need, that you're looking for?
Really, it depends on the person that you're talking to. Some people will be super impressed. Other people will be like, yeah, whatever. But really, I mean, I've gotten a lot of support. It's really interesting to see from you inviting me onto this talk show to going to Sneaky Big Studios a couple days ago. It's been really amazing with the support that I've gotten, mainly through connections.
Do you find that you're getting more support from adults that are, I guess, maybe in a little bit awe of what you're doing? Or do you get more support from peers and other students that maybe are inspired and want to follow your leadership?
Well, right now it's mostly adults. Hopefully in the future when AOT starts to become bigger, it'll be teens. But generally in school, and you're going to laugh, people don't know anything about it. The only way that they know is looking me up online through TV, or if I just so happen to be working on something to come over and say, hey, what is this? They wouldn't know.
Have you interacted with the school administration? Are they in support of what you're doing?
The school administration doesn't know either.
Okay. Is that an area that do you think you could partner with them to help bring greater awareness to the school?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pretty soon here, of course. Yeah. But right now, I don't really talk to them about it. I don't really feel the need to. I don't need that gratification from them, if that makes sense.
All righty. How do you turn leadership into a habit? What are the reps you need to make young leaders do consistently until it becomes identity level?
Well, here's the thing. In order to be motivated, you need to be disciplined. But in order to be disciplined, that's where duty comes back in again. So if you have a strong enough duty, having that discipline to build a habit will be easy for you. When you have 28 days, you will have built a habit. You do something for those 28 days, habit, done. But you need your duty to push you towards doing that and being disciplined to do that. When you feel like not doing it, you have to go, well, how bad do I want it? I mean, I really want to travel the world and leave my mark. I mean, I only got so long to do so. You know what I'm saying?
I do. So 28 days of doing the same thing, that creates the habit.
Yes. As far as to my knowledge, that's what I remember. Yes.
So what can you do, or what do you do with your team to help them stick to that habit or stick to that routine for 28 days until it becomes a habit?
So our courses on our website right now, we have leadership and public speaking. They're built on 2 months of every week of doing something. So if you take those courses and you follow through with your decision to take them, you will have built that habit.
Excellent. Fantastic. What about when someone drops the ball? What's your way of restoring accountability without humiliation, so that they are stronger instead of defensive?
Well, the first thing you do is separate the mistake from the person. Then you go, why is it, do you think, that you made this mistake? And once you identify the why, you can also identify the cause to that why. And once you're able to identify the cause, then you can prevent it from happening in the future. It could be a number of things. It could be duty. It could be personal life issues, really anything. But really separating that mistake from the person is a big one. You never want to go to someone and be like, hey, you know, you suck. You did this wrong. Never do this again. You want to go, hey, you made a mistake. And that's okay. We all make mistakes. Here's the mistake that you made. Here's why it can't happen again. Why did it happen?
Fantastic. I love that approach. I wish more leaders I've interacted with in the past had that approach.
Absolutely, yes.
If a school or community wanted to replicate what you're building, What are the three non-negotiables you require so that it doesn't turn into a one-time event?
One, no political affiliation. Two, they have to do community service. It's a big thing for networking and selfless service. That's a big part of being happy. And for three, they actually have to sit there and get kids to do something leadership-wise that's going to give them real experience. So that can lead back into community service. It can be a service learning project. It can be launching a small little business, even if it's just a lemonade stand. They got to do something to get that experience.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. We're going to take another break. And next, I want to get personal, because leading youth doesn't mean you're fully formed. I want to talk about confidence without the mask. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more conversations at the edge of technology and transformation. Stay tuned. Every week on Infinite Future, we explore breakthrough innovation across every major frontier. We talk to AI architects, biotech pioneers, space entrepreneurs, clean energy disruptors, and the thinkers redesigning global systems. We don't just talk trends. We examine scalability, ethics, economic impact, and real-world implementation. If you're building, investing in, or leading the future, join me on Infinite Future, only on Now Media TV. Because the future isn't predicted, it's engineered. And we're back. I'm Todd Thomas, and this is Infinite Future on Now Media TV. Let's look ahead. Welcome back to Infinite Future. I'm continuing with Caitlin Murdoch. This segment matters because a lot of young leaders feel like they have to perform confidence to be taken seriously, and that performance becomes exhausting. I want to talk about what real confidence looks like when you're still becoming. We're going to explore identity-driven leadership, how someone leads authentically without pretending or performing. I'll put out the practical tools that build confidence, not hype, but competence, boundaries, emotional honesty, and credibility. So, Caitlin, what's the most damaging lie that young leaders believe about confidence? I can't show doubt. I have to know everything, or I have to be fearless.
I have to know everything. You absolutely do not have to know everything. Because if you're trying to know everything, you never will. And you'll never know enough to start what you're trying to do. It's okay not to know something. And if anyone's bringing you down for not knowing something, then, well, they're the loser, because I'm sure there's something you know that they don't. And really, if you're trying to start a business or any sort of leadership initiative and you're going, well, I don't have all the tools in my head to start this, just do it. Figure it out while you go, because your time's going to be wasted up. And really, that's how you learn, is throwing yourself out there. There's no possible way that you can know everything. I don't know everything. I'm sure you don't know everything. Nobody's going to know everything. Just start.
So Richard Branson has a famous line that gets brought up all the time. They were asking him about this general subject, and he said, when someone offers you an opportunity, say yes. Even if you don't know how to do it, say yes. Figure it out later.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've never been on a podcast before. This is my first podcast. Todd invited me out. I said in my head, I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to push myself. And I knew that when I felt uncomfortable, that I was going in the right direction. If you feel comfortable with an opportunity you've given, you're probably not reaching high enough.
Well, I don't think anybody would know this wasn't your first time on a show. You seem very relaxed and comfortable.
Absolutely. It's not my first time public speaking, but it is my first time on a show.
Well, I'm thrilled that this is your first show. Thank you for making Infinite Future the first show. That's great. When you're young, people question your authority first. What's your playbook for building credibility without becoming hardened or defensive?
Well, really, if anyone's doubting you because you don't have credibility, the best thing you can do for yourself is build a team that does. For example, my board is full of CEOs, military leadership, and other high-level leaders that give me credibility through them because they're working with me. That means that they must trust me and I must trust them. If you're not able to do that, you really need to push yourself to do something that's irrefutable that automatically gives you credibility. It could be writing a book, doing an event, a service learning project, even community service hours, but you really need to put yourself out there and get credible.
So if someone is looking to build something similar, they want to find mentors, they want to build a board. Sounds like you've put together a pretty amazing board already. And I think you're going to tell me that the same thing you did a minute ago, which is, I'm about to ask you, how did you do that? And I'm guessing you're going to say, just do it. Just get started.
Yeah, pretty much. Just pick a person who's been where you want to be and shoot them out a call. Don't email them. People never check their emails. Don't text them. They'll never check their checks. Call them over and over and over. If you have to, even if it's annoying, even if they hate you, call them. That's my best advice to you and anybody that's watching.
The old-fashioned phone call.
Yep, absolutely. And eventually, you know, they'll memorize your number and be curious, who's calling me for the 10th time today? And maybe it gets annoying, so try different people, but be persistent. Sometimes you have to remind people what they promised you and keep pushing for what you want.
Wow, fantastic. I love that drive. Tell me about a moment you didn't feel ready, but you chose to lead anyway. What did that moment teach you about who you are?
Well, in truth, when I first started my nonprofit, I had no clue what I'm doing or what I was doing. I do now, I promise. But when I first started my nonprofit, that was a big push for me. I didn't feel like I was ready, but I did it anyway. And that told me that I can go somewhere. And that if I keep pushing, I know that eventually I'll be able to fulfill my duty and keep that pursuit of happiness within me. So really, that's where it came.
Okay. How do you help young leaders separate feedback that sharpens them from noise that derails them?
You have to find out who and where it's coming from. If it's coming from a mentor or someone who's been where you want to be again, follow their advice. If they're above you, they have no reason to drag you down. If it's somebody around you saying something that probably isn't true, talking about a mistake that you did, or anything along those lines, chances are, and I mean, we get told this all the time, they're jealous of you. They want to be like you. There's something else driving them. It could be personal life, anything. But really, only listen to the noise that comes from above or at your level.
Now, lots of conversation these days about online versus real life world. How much are those two spaces different here in terms of, you know, listening to feedback and taking feedback seriously? Do you have a different approach for feedback that comes live from people versus what you hear online?
Well, really, the online world is such a whip. It can come from anybody. So again, it goes back to that pyramid, whether they're at your level or above you. If it's some CEO online that's talking to you and they're saying, hey, you probably shouldn't do this, here's why, yeah, listen to them. But when you're in real life, of course, those people are also going to come up to you. But really, it's easier to connect with their advice in person. You get to see their body language, their expressions, whether they're trying to drag you down or lift you up.
Have you had a situation yet where you've gotten advice or direction from a mentor or a leader, maybe someone on your board that you just completely disagreed with and you had trouble with? And how did you react to that?
No, I haven't had a scenario like that yet, but I always like to keep an open mind. Of course, there's going to be things that I disagree with, but I also know that I don't know everything. So if a scenario came up where that happened, I would go to other people around me and say, hey, I got told by so-and-so, this was good advice. Do you think this is good advice? Do you think this is good advice? And depending on what answers I get, that'll tell me whether or not my intuition is right or wrong.
It's a great approach. I love that. What's one practice you use to stay grounded as a leader? Something you do when pressure hits so you don't put on a mask?
Well, really, it's about balance, having a balanced life. I mean, all the time you see these motivational speakers saying, you're not doing enough. You need to work out right now. You need to be working 24 hours a day under your desk or else somebody else is going to come after you. And partially, it's true that you should work hard. But in my head, it's also about working smart. And again, that's where AI comes back in. It allows you to get your job done much, much faster. Somebody who takes 24 hours to do the same task that you could do in two probably isn't as efficient as you. So the truth is, having that balance will keep you from getting overloaded. In my opinion, you should only be working the normal amount of work days an average person would have, 8 hours a day max.
Fantastic. Do you have a particular leader that you really find inspiring that you look to and that you like to follow?
Do I have a leader that I look up to and that I would like to follow? No, but I do have a combination of leaders that I look up to and want to be like in certain respects. I don't think it's healthy to choose one person and put them on a pedestal and chase after what they're doing. Because the truth is, you're never going to perfectly mimic what someone else is doing. But that's why I like to pull different skills and inspirations from different leaders that I know. My dad is very, very, very social and energetic. So he's one of the leaders that I've looked up to since I was a little kid. I mean, there's a lot of people that I could be looking up to in different traits and skills that they may have.
Excellent. So I actually know your dad. I've known your dad for decades. Fantastic. He and I originally met in the construction world. He and I did a bunch of big construction jobs together. And one of the worst things that can happen on a construction job is you open up a wall or a floor or a ceiling and you find something you didn't expect. You know, there's a big plumbing main there. And so you can't do what you wanted. And on most jobs, that's a terrible problem and it causes delays and budget problems. When I was on a job with your dad, we loved when that would happen because your dad would re-engineer it. He would value engineer it. He would redesign it. And at the end of the day, we would deliver a better space, a better project, an overall better result because we found this problem and we used that as a way to let Jeremy completely redesign the whole space. So it was spectacular. We delivered some really nice spaces during our time together. His nickname on site was Launch Codes because we all knew that he had you know, some work with NASA early on. So we all called him Launch Codes. One of the most brilliant people I've ever known. Really, really smart.
Yes, absolutely. He's taught me a lot since I was a little kid, and I'm very, very lucky to have a father who cared so much about my success and learning. And really, I mean, he's right. When something goes wrong, take that opportunity to twist it into something better, because sometimes there's a reason that you don't know as to why it goes wrong.
Yeah. So I have a ton of respect for your dad. I think he's one of the smartest guys I've ever met. But I'll tell you a secret, and we'll keep this real quiet, just between you and me. You might even be smarter than your dad. We'll be right back with Caitlin Murdoch. We'll be right back with more conversations at the edge of technology and transformation. Stay tuned. Every week on Infinite Future, we explore breakthrough innovation across every major frontier. We talk to AI architects, biotech pioneers, space entrepreneurs, clean energy disruptors, and the thinkers redesigning global systems. We don't just talk trends. We examine scalability, ethics, economic impact, and real-world implementation. If you're building, investing in, or leading the future, join me on Infinite Future, only on Now Media TV. Because the future isn't predicted, it's engineered. And we're back.
Yeah,
I'm Todd Thomas, and this is Infinite Future on Now Media TV. Let's look ahead.
Welcome back to Infinite Future. I'm Todd Thomas, and we're here with Caitlin Murdoch.
If you want more episodes like this, you can watch Now Media TV live or on demand. Download the app on Roku or iOS, or watch the podcast at www.nowmedia.tv. So welcome back to our final segment. I'm here with Caitlin Murdoch, the founder and executive director of Army of Torches, and the author of Army of Torches, The Weight of Duty. I want to land this episode in reality, building something that outlines inspiration, because a mission doesn't scale on passion, it scales on structure. One of my favorite phrases is, execution is the chariot of genius. So I'm going to talk operations, programs, team, funding, partnerships, credibility, and sustainability. The goal is to give viewers a blueprint for turning a cause into an institution without losing heart. So, Caitlin, what was the first real-world lesson that you learned after launching Army of Torches? The moment you realized passion couldn't substitute for systems?
Well, really, again, this goes back to consistency. It's really, really hard sometimes, especially as a teenager who doesn't entirely have their frontal lobe developed, but it's really, really hard sometimes just to put aside that hour of my day. And it's also about time management. Going to high school and running a business at the same time, it's not easy. And I'm sure a lot of people can say the same thing. I know there's a lot of college students who've tried to start their own business and couldn't because all of their electives and hours got in the way. And so really, it's quite funny. What I've been doing is I start bringing my personal computer to school. And when I'm bored in class, that's what I do, is I work on my business. Whatever boring tasks that need to get done is better to me than sitting alone in a class for 2 hours.
So you mentioned in our last segment, work-life balance. And
yeah.
You really think someone shouldn't work more than 8 hours a day. And I respect that. But when you're a student and you're running a nonprofit, what happens when it gets late in the evening and there's just a couple more things that really would be great to get them done, but you know you've already been working for 10 hours that day? How do you make that decision on to continue working or to shut it down?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I have a perfect answer to that. I save it for the next day, and it makes me get up out of bed and set that hour aside for whatever I wanted to do. So I keep that anticipation, and I don't let myself get entirely fulfilled. That way, when I come to work the next day, it's, hey, I already know what tasks I got to get done. I want to get them done. And after I get those tasks done, I'm like, well, you know, it's just one more little thing. And then an hour later, I'm like, oh, my work is done.
Excellent answer. Very good. What are the first pillars you build as a nonprofit function? Is it governance, program design, fundraising strategy, or team structure? And why that order?
Absolutely team structure. That is the number one. Then it comes down to, you said, C word.
Governance, program design.
Curriculum. Then it goes systems. Then it goes governance. And the reason why I put team at first is because I'll tell you an interesting story. When I was at Sneaky Big Studios just a few days ago, there was a CEO there who was managing films, and he was talking about pre and post filming. And when he was talking about it, he said in pre-production, when you make a mistake, it's X amount of money. In post-production, when you make the same mistake, if you didn't fix it in pre-production, it's about 10 times the amount of money to fix it. And so when you have a team with you, they're going to see things that you don't. And they'll be able to recognize that mistake in pre-production before it becomes a huge issue later on and wastes your time, effort, and money on something that never needed to be wasted on. So that's the reason that I put team at number one.
Fantastic. How do you build credibility when you're young and people underestimate you? What do you do to earn trust faster than your age suggests?
Reaching out, building teams, and building partnerships. If you already have an established organization that comes on with you and trusts you already and just gives you that fraction of trust, everybody else is going to trust you too. It's like a domino's reaction. Everybody wants a piece of it. For example, AOT just got partnered with Apple, which is a very, very big company. When I tell people that, they look at me and they go, you're crazy. And I say, I know. I know I'm crazy, but that's how you have to build credibility, is that You sometimes have to draw other people's credibility into your credibility field and use it to build up your own experience to gain your own individual credibility.
So for a brand new nonprofit to get a partnership with Apple, that's pretty amazing. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, really, it can happen to anybody. It's more so about the time of where you're at and who happens to be there. If you pitch a good enough idea to people, they're going to help you 9 times out of 10. I know everyone's like, it's so hard to get people to help you. It's really not. It's really not. I mean, really, these older people, like 30, 40, 60 people, have interest in teenagers. So many adults want to be mentors. And I think teenagers underestimate that and just have anticipated rejection. Like, they're not going to take me in just because I'm a teen. And that's not always true.
So for you and the kind of network that you've already built, the board of directors, the advisors, the mentors, most people have said yes?
Most people have said yes. In fact, almost everyone said yes.
That's fantastic. That's amazing. And hopefully that gives other young people the courage to go out and ask.
Yes, please do. Please do. If you can prove that your idea is going to work and there's a real foundation behind it, you're going to get there. If you keep going, you have no choice but to reach the end.
Fantastic. So partnerships can multiply impact or they can dilute a mission. What's your filter for choosing collaborators and what's a deal breaker for you?
Well, there's a big difference. If I were to tell somebody that I was partnered with the local bakery across the street, they don't have anything to offer me for one. And for two, they're going to go, okay, so whatever, what does that bakery have to do with anything? And there's a difference between me saying, hey, my company is partnered with Apple. And they go, no way. And I go, yes, it's partnered with Apple. And they go, oh, okay, so you are credible. And Apple trusts you, so of course I have to trust you. And Apple has something to offer. They offer me their volunteers. They offer hands to help in community service. So really, it's about not bringing in too many organizations, but bringing in the ones that have something real to offer to me, whether that's credibility, people, donations, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow, fantastic. If you could go back to day one, what would you build sooner so growth wouldn't depend so heavily on you?
So growth wouldn't depend so heavily on me? Well, for one, I would educate myself more on the use of AI and different AIs and what they can be used for. But I would also, again, bring that team modeled leadership back into the frame. Really, it's about delegation. When you have a team, you can go to and ask, hey, I have no clue how to do this. A lot of times they'll come in and say, hey, I've done that before. I know how to do this and I can help you. So that speeds up the process a lot alongside with the AI doing your boring everyday tasks for you.
Fantastic. So, Caitlin, thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it. This has been
Absolutely.
A great conversation. But before I let you go, where can people connect with you? Where can they follow your work? And what if they want to be involved in Army of Torches? How can they get involved?
Well, if you want to be involved, go ahead to our website, www.armyoftorches.com, and you'll find our business phone number. Call there, and I'll be able to see it. We have a bunch of different social media platforms that we're building right now. We're on X, YouTube, Instagram, and LinkedIn right now. LinkedIn, you'll find me on my personal profile, Caitlin Murdoch.
Okay, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit more about the book. Where can they find your book?
Oh, yes. My book is going to be on Amazon under The Weight of Duty.
Fantastic. And will that be on paperback, ebook? How can we get it?
Both on paperback and ebook, depending on which one you prefer.
And just a little trick, when you buy an ebook on Amazon, it calls it a Kindle book. But you don't have to have a Kindle. You can read it on any electronic device. You can read it on your phone, on your laptop. So if you're an ebook reader out there, you don't have to have a Kindle. You can read it on anything you want. Just a little tip.
Yes, and it won't take up a lot of your time. It's a very quick read, but it does have a lot of valuable information that I think could help out some people greatly.
Fantastic. So thank you so much for watching Infinite Future. Caitlin, thank you for today. I'm taking away something simple but powerful. Leadership isn't a vibe, it's duty, it's discipline, and it's the willingness to build structures that keep the mission alive. To everyone watching, if you feel the weight of responsibility, that doesn't mean you're failing. It means you're carrying something that matters. Build your standards, build your support, and build the infrastructure that turns your purpose into impact. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Todd Thomas. We'll see you next week. Thank you for watching Infinite Future. I'm Todd Thomas. Join us next week as we continue exploring the ideas and innovators building what's next, only on Now Media TV.